Georgetown University Forum from the nation's capital.
Today on the Georgetown University Forum, we are going to talk to one of our alumni, and we're going to talk about what it means to have your heart at home, and in this case, Oklahoma. I am Lillian Brown from Georgetown University, and I have two wonderful guests today. Please introduce yourself.
I am Greg Guthrie, a graduate of Georgetown. I wrote my thesis on labor unions and social justice, studying in the evening at the School of Continuing Studies. I came to Washington in 1986, and I worked for the Commerce Department, the World Bank, the Library of Congress, and then back at the NTIS, National Technical Information Service of the Commerce Department. And as I mentioned, I was a student at Georgetown in the Continuing Studies Department.
And you went to school at night.
Yes.
Now tell us who you brought with you.
I brought with me my mother, Helen Guthrie. She has been an inspiration to me, especially in regards to social justice issues. And she is every day always interested in issues pertaining to our home state of Oklahoma.
And Helen, you are interested in many things, but still proud of a son that went to college at night.
I certainly am. I love Georgetown. I love Oklahoma. And I have loved my life.
Well, we're going to talk a lot more about that.
Thank you.
And I would like to mention that if you look at any university community, you see people from everywhere, all over the United States, and in many universities all over the world. So what happens to the people who are in the university community?
Well, I think, especially at a school like Georgetown, the cross flow of ideas, the commonality, no matter where the students are from, maybe Ohio, Oklahoma, New York, there's a commonality of values. And while we each hearken back to our home state, it's gratifying to share ideas with other people who think like you do, and although coming from different experiences, it's gratifying to just be among people who share a common ideal.
Also, don't you find a diversity among the faculty itself?
Yes, very much so. Teachers I had at Georgetown were Jesuits, some were professional people moonlighting, and many were lifelong career faculty who were very inspirational to me in my studies.
And one other thing that we find in universities is that this desire to get a degree, to get an education, sometimes involves a great deal of sacrifice.
That's true. In my case, over several years, it was a process of taking a course in the evening and then taking another course the next semester, and just really, rather than going home and basically putting your feet up and watching TV, driving oneself to toward the goal of attaining a degree, a master's in my case.
Now, Helen?
Yes.
As a mother with a child in school, how is that for the parent? You're proud of this person for working so hard and
right.
being so diligent.
Right. And it's a matter of encouraging and making every minute count and still fitting, in my case, in with the family, other things that are going into the family. But you have to really keep your eye on the prize of a person struggling and working to get a degree at night. And so you make adjustments, and they're well worth it.
Now, you have other family who are alumni.
Yes, my son Larry went here, and then Greg, and I took continuing education courses in politics, political science, but never, you know, got a degree. But it turned out to be extremely helpful to me, the information I got, along with learning more about politics and making these adjustments that you make when you're coaching or helping someone get a degree.
But I would think that, in a sense, you were an inspiration to your children because you worked in the White House during the Reagan administration. Tell us a little bit about your career.
Well, I'm the mother of eight.
Oh!
And I have a nice family. We have our ups and our downs, but all in all, it's paid off. And I also thank my parents every day, because neither of them were college graduates. They were hardworking people, lived in a German community, and we were grateful to be in America and to have these privileges, and we were never allowed to forget the privilege of a college education.
Right. Now, tell us a little bit about your career, some of the wonderful things that you've done.
Well, I was right in the right place at the right time, so I went to the White House. I was in the presidential communications, and that was an experience of a lifetime. And, of course, raising my family was an experience. And I also retired from Noble Drilling Corporation, and I was very well treated there, and my bit of knowledge about oil and making a small company grow to the largest drilling company in the world was a privilege, and I was thanked for it. And now I'm into social justice, the poor, the unions, the downtrodden, anything we can do to help raise the personal respect that each and every one of us have for ourselves.
And because you understood a little bit about how government worked, you were willing to contact people in the government.
That's right. I was, and got some very good response from HUD, which did an excellent job in this small town where I'm from in improving the retirement centers. The government subsidized, and also got a lot of help on the police station, on things that you think ho-hum, you know, but it's not ho-hum. It's the beauty of America, and I'm grateful for that political background.
I think one of the things that I know, having lived in a university community for a long time, is the effort it takes, especially to get a degree. Now, you can go to school and take a few courses at night, and continuing education is a wonderful thing, but to get a degree is very arduous. I don't know if I pronounced that right.
Yes, it is, and as one gets toward the completion of the program, in the case at Georgetown in the Master of Liberal Studies, it was required to write a thesis, and that was a large challenge for me. Although very rewarding, it took many evenings of research. And
you could write a book from your thesis.
Yes.
But you followed up your subject, working with the unions, and tell us a little bit more about how you followed up on that.
Yes, I became very interested in the unions, both through my work, where I am a member of the Union National Federation of Federal Employees, and through contacts, through really a large amount of the credit went to a dear friend of mine who just passed away, Mr. James Norton, past president of the Graphic Communications International Union. And he inspired me. Through Mr. Norton, I met Father George Higgins, who was known as America's labor priest, and attended many events pertaining to the unions and social justice, and I'm still very interested in that topic around the world, especially at home and in my home state of Oklahoma.
Well, I love to think about the places that students come from. And I love to use that little expression, my heart's in the highlands, my heart is not here. My heart's in the highlands a-chasing the deer. And all of us have a home that's very, very special to us. And in your case, Oklahoma. And they even wrote a musical about your state.
Yes, they did. Where the wind comes sweeping down the plains. And the waving wheat can sure smell sweet when the wind comes right behind the rain.
Right?
It's right, and his grandfather was a wheat farmer.
Oh, really?
So we were proud of that.
But well, tell us now a little bit about your home state and what's going on there, and also about your own private life there.
Well, it hurts me to see what Oklahoma's going through right now because we are a poor state. Through, I feel, not the fault of the people, but politicians. And we're suffering from lack of health care. Actually, we're suffering from a loss of human dignity. Do you agree, Greg?
Yes, I do. And that's one of the reasons I'm very interested in the labor movement and unions. Back in 2001, a right-to-work law passed in Oklahoma. And since then, the unions have lost a lot of their clout there. And from my point of view, unions foster social justice, human rights, vis-a-vis minimum wage, a living wage, and so forth. And I think this, the right to work, Oklahoma has gone downhill since the passage of right to work.
What do you want to happen?
I would like to see a more progressive attitude, a more inclusive attitude, a less xenophobic attitude toward people such as the immigrants. Oklahoma recently passed one of the most restrictive pieces of legislation, House Bill 1804, sponsored by Representative Randy Terrell, which is pretty harsh. I even heard a priest at Mass say that he could be in trouble with the law if he even gave an undocumented person a ride to Mass on Sunday, which I think is just awful.
It is awful, and they're wonderful people, and they're we're caught in this thing of legalities versus kindness, I guess. I don't know what you call these things that are coming down now, but I know it's wrong. I know it's very wrong if the Mexicans, anybody, to be treated like that. And I have suggested that we go to the state attorney and ask for a moratorium on any new businesses coming to Oklahoma until we have an audit. And we have so much money that leaves the state under the guise of business, and it's thievery.
Now, is Oklahoma more rural than with big cities?
Well,
yes, it's primarily rural.
Two major cities.
Two major cities, Tulsa and Oklahoma City.
And the rest of it's rural. Yeah, right. It is.
Now, you have some very, very important people who have come from Oklahoma and been very successful. And all of us remember Carl Albert.
You bet we do, from Bug Tussle, Oklahoma.
He was the little
giant. Little Dixie.
I have to tell you an interesting experience with Carl Albert. I was his voice coach.
Oh, really?
And I went to his office, and the first thing he said to me, he said, "Don't take out the Bug Tussle." And I said, "Sir, Bug Tussle?"
That's it.
And then I found out there's a town named Bug Tussle, and it's on the map, and that's mm-hmm. where he had to go back to be reelected, right?
That's right.
That's right.
Little Dixie. That's right. He was a wonderful man.
Yes.
And, very proud of him.
Now, tell me a little more about Mr. The head of the Library of Congress.
Borstein. Daniel Borstein was, he attended school at Tulsa Central. I believe his family moved there from Atlanta. But he went on to become a Librarian of Congress and wrote a series of books called The Americans, among others. And in that, he said what he remembered the most about growing up in Tulsa was a booster attitude, an optimistic spirit, a can-do attitude that really I think would be great if we could get that back, and where people are working together. I mean, my mother has told me of a time when you couldn't get a parking place in downtown Tulsa when everybody was shopping. And yet when we were home last week, I looked down the street one day and couldn't see one person on the streets of downtown Tulsa. I would like to see the downtown of Tulsa redeveloped, not just suburbia, but, I mean, for people to come together in a community in downtown.
Getting back again to the university community and what it means to be an alumna. Now, you're active in the Alumni Association, right?
Yes, I attend alumni events here in Washington, and stay connected to some of the people I was in class with, although many have gone various ways. I'm up at Georgetown all the time and speak to most recently I attended a Woodstock theological seminar there on various and it was hosted by Kathleen Moss Weigert of the School for Social Justice at Georgetown, and attend quite a few events like that.
Now, how long did it take you going to school at night to get your degree?
It took me over a span of about 8 years.
8 years,
yeah,
right.
To get my degree, and I had stopped for a while, but Dr. O'Callaghan there was always very encouraging to me, and worked out.
And do you know any other alumna of Georgetown that are interesting to you?
Oh, yeah. I followed the careers of some of the people there, although I disagree with some of his policies. I know former Governor Frank Keating. I can't think offhand, but there are several around.
And again, I think you have to be greatly influenced by the professors.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
My mentor was Professor Douglas McCabe in the School of Business. Very inspirational to me, always boosting me up, volunteering, you know, to be my mentor, keeping me on my toes and involved. And I think that's the real value of a school like Georgetown, is the professors put a lot into it, in continuing ed, undergraduate, what have you, really like a coach to try to inspire the students.
There's a big difference between the School of Continuing Education, which is literally open to the whole public.
Yes.
Where if you come to a school like Georgetown and you're a freshman and you're going to go to school full-time, you're going to live in the dorm, you spend your whole time going to school, it's a totally different situation.
Yeah.
That's true. I received my bachelor's degree from Oklahoma State University in Stillwater, and I'm grateful and think highly of OSU. But that's where I did the living on campus experience, where I lived as a student, as a traditional student. When I came to Georgetown in continuing ed, it was as a working professional, studying in the evening. Totally different kind of experience, but almost more like a professional seminar.
And I understand now that universities throughout the nation, maybe the world, are working more and more with a student who works full-time.
Yes, and certainly with all of the computer courses that can be taken through computers and where you check in with your advisor is becoming more prevalent. But I am grateful that I got to know the professors I had at Georgetown on a personal basis.
But you see, universities welcome students who come from universities like the University of Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
They love to get a student who's done something in their home state and then comes and is right. very serious about getting a degree in, shall we say, law or medicine or diplomacy or business. But I'd like for you to talk a little more about what you did and your interest in labor.
It developed over time, and the timing was good on it. When I chose my thesis topic, I had met Monsignor Higgins. I had met several labor people, and it really I kind of developed an attitude that I wanted to focus on labor and social issues, largely out of the right to work election that was going on in Oklahoma. I followed it every day, and labor, as I say, I am still very interested in labor and hope that it can regain the strength that it had in the past.
I think one of the interesting things about going to any major university is the student picks up sort of like you did a mission of a sort or an interest in life that continues on into their professional life.
Yeah, and one of the requirements of the continuing ed program, the liberal studies program there, is a values and ethics type of course where it adds a dimension to the studies that is not just professional, but it's of value, of moral value, in fact.
Now, you were at the World Bank.
Yes.
Many of us have a hard time understanding what the World Bank can do.
Well, ideally, the World Bank helps lesser developed countries develop their economies so the people there can basically get on their feet, so to speak, and live productive lives, move from a third world, if you will, to a first world country. What I did there, I worked in the environment department on a program called the Environmental Program for the Mediterranean. It was fascinating, all the countries. I was amazed by all the different cultures.
Did you visit these countries?
Yes, I did. And I went to took a train throughout Europe and Greece, Italy. It was really a rewarding experience.
Helen, tell us a little bit more about the Museum of Art.
The Museum of Art
that you worked in.
In Philbrook.
Oh, at Philbrook. Oh, it was wonderful. And I enjoyed it, and it's a good museum. It's rated as one of the top 10, and it broadened me so, you know, because I learned a lot, just like when Greg was talking about coming to Georgetown. The whole family benefits from someone that's into developing that much. And, of course, it was a wonderful place to work, and I learned a lot, and the children learned a lot. And so that my approach to things is always kind of, you know, hey, let's make life as sweet as we can.
But you see, the influence that you've had on all your children and the encouragement to go to a university, get that degree no matter how difficult it is. This is very important in the life of a parent in relation to the alumni student.
Oh, yes. Yeah, it is. And I'm glad that I could realize that. And I will be eternally grateful to the Lowinger family that built the library here in memory of their son, Joseph Mark. And I thought, what a generous, beautiful thing to do. And sometimes you can just walk through an institution or a campus like Georgetown, and you come across something that's so meaningful. It's good. It's good for the soul.
I can remember a parent who said to five children, "You're going to college. It is not negotiable." And this was during the Depression.
Yeah.
When you hardly had cash,
right,
to spend on tuition. And tuition is a big factor, right?
That's right.
Yes, it is.
Absolutely.
So that's why you had to work?
That's why I worked, and little by little, you know, kept after it. And Mom was a large part of the inspiration for that.
What would you like to see happen in the future in relation to universities and alumni?
That's a good question. I would actually like to see the idea that I've read about, where retirement communities can be located on the campus of universities, and where retired people can attend classes and interact with the students. I think it would be a very productive relationship.
Well, we'll have to relay that idea to some of the people that might be able to make that happen.
Yeah, wouldn't
sure.
that be wonderful?
It's happened at a few universities, but it'd be great if Georgetown could do.
Well, today on the Georgetown University Forum, we've been talking about alumni, what it means to get an education, to suffer for it, to work for it, and what the family means, the encouragement of the parents, and the diligence it takes for a student to get a degree today. And to our listeners, thank you.
Georgetown University Forum is produced by Lillian Brown.